said Blakely has served in different capacities under a succession of presidential administrations, has guided government policy on urban planning, and is a widely cited academic. My name is Sean Britton, and each week Ed and I have a chat about what's the latest news out of the United States, talking everything politics, planning, and policy from sea to shining sea. Find us on iTunes, Wooshka, Facebook, and Twitter at US of Ed. Ed, the word of the week is guns. We talked last week about some of the movement in the wake of the Florida shooting, but what's the latest?
Well, a couple of things. The president's still running around talking about armed people in schools, getting a lot of pushback from governors who invited him. They invited him for the daily governor's meeting, and a lot of pushback from young people, and that's what I'm delighted to see. And one of the largest gun distributors said they will not distribute those guns anymore. Delta Airlines will not give NRA people passes anymore, or lower fares, discount fares. So I think this is a roll. And some people better get out of the way or they're going to be rolled over. The president is keeping his options open. He's going to have probably that, the gun stock or whatever it is. Get that through. Talk about how he's going to do better background checks. Believe me, background checks mean nothing, particularly if Jared Kushner can get a security clearance. What is a background check? The background check just doesn't mean anything. But I think the important thing is not having the guns around, and there's going to be a big movement. And I would anticipate some New York lawyers doing class action suits. These Florida kids were not poor kids. And some class action suits against the gun sellers, the gun makers, and the police department. The police stood outside. I see some class action suits coming.
Now, Ed, the revolving door of the Trump White House just keeps on spinning. White House Communications Director and longtime Trump aide Hope Hicks is on her way out. She took the job after Anthony Scaramucci, the Mooch, was ousted, and this follows on from testimony to the Russia probe on Tuesday. Any thoughts?
Well, I think there may be a very, very small relationship with the Russian probe. What Hope Hicks was motivated by was there was no place to go but down for her. Mueller's getting awfully, awfully close to the White House itself and the people in it. What people don't really understand, when the president kicked the FBI, as he did, a month ago now, and this little fiasco over the report where he called the FBI guys inadequate, et cetera, the FBI struck back right away. First, they struck back with the abuse story. Then they started striking back with other people doing security clearance. Then they started striking back with telling people, if you say anything to us, it's not the truth, we're going to send you to jail. Hope Hicks, there she was. She got exposed in front of the House committee. She knew the FBI would be next. I better get out of town.
I remember you saying at the time, in fact, the FBI, the queen bee of organizations, and Trump had really, really rattled the nest.
He has, and they are coming out in every direction and stinging him every way they can.
And certainly, when we talk about the testimony that Hope Hicks did make, it may not have featured greatly in the decision to leave, but I think the result is that Trump is creating quite a toxic working environment within the White House itself. I understand there were some reports claiming that Trump had gone after her quite strongly over some minor points of that testimony. And realistically, she's got no support left within the White House itself. It's been a very difficult time.
Well, she could see she was being isolated, not just within the White House, but outside the White House. Her own family and other people were isolating her, so she had no place to go. And she's, just 30 or under 30? If she's going to have a future, she better cut out now, because when this investigation gets close to the president, it's going to get ugly, ugly, ugly in the White House, and it's getting closer and closer.
Want to look at some policy this week, some perhaps underreported policy. First thing, I think, good news. We'll start off with the good news. Jeff Sessions has announced the Justice Department is looking to tackle America's opioid crisis with all the legal means at its disposal. There are so many overdoses happening from opioids in the US. There's so many deaths, more than car accidents, more than guns, more than breast cancer, that the average life expectancy in the US has actually dropped 2 years, totally against the pattern of other sort of nations that are developed. Ed, what's going on?
Well, clearly we see the results of a lack of jobs, lack of meaningful jobs, lack of hope. This president has also restored anger. And when people get angry, they look for something to cure them, make them feel better. And the drugs are doing that. But I think the deeper thing, and this goes back many years for me, is when America was a place of hope.
Mm.
When America was a place of opportunity, and it's no longer that place anymore. These opioids are a symptom of a deeper malady. You can't get rid of the opioids. You have to get rid of the problem.
The land of opportunity, actually, in related news, related policies, that is quite worrying this week. The Supreme Court has made a new ruling that immigration officials have the right to hold immigrants indefinitely without bond hearings. Some have said this is reminiscent of the Japanese internment camps during World War II. Certainly in a larger context, given everything else Trump's been saying, it is a bit scary. What's your take?
Well, Trump wants to open Guantanamo Bay again.
Mm.
He's going after immigrants. He hasn't even said a word about the DACA immigrants who this month run out of time. So this kind of hate, fear-mongering and so forth is not just dividing the nation, it's tearing it apart. The Supreme Court probably made this decision on very narrow grounds regarding aliens who are a threat to the country. But now you made every alien a threat to the country. This was a dumb decision, and you've got a dumb guy in charge.
Some of the language around this decision was really quite astonishing. We've got to hold them essentially without bail because otherwise they could abscond or they could commit crimes is the sort of the reasoning why any immigrant is a immigrant that is potentially a ticking time bomb.
Then every white male in the United States should be incarcerated.
Mm.
Those are the grounds you're using.
I think that's an excellent point. Another policy I just wanted to have a brief look at. The EPA has had to reorganize three offices into one as part of a Trump administration plan. Now, the Environmental Protection Agency already faced the possibility of enormous cuts under Trump. There's been other abuses of the agency as well. This latest includes the reordering of an office that studies the effects of chemicals on children's health and could threaten that work, among others. What's going on?
Well, the gentleman who runs that agency has basically been on a mission to close it. And all the things we see are part of the mission. Remember, EPA only came up during the Nixon administration. It is a very new agency. And it has gone after polluters. It's gone after all the people who do damage to the environment. These are the kinds of things that Trump doesn't want to hear about. And he has been subject, personally, in his businesses, to very strong EPA regulatory processes that have fined him and basically almost sent him to jail. So he's angry about that. The whole nation will suffer from this. There are some very strong governors around the country, including Florida, who say, you may close this agency, but we're starting a new law in our state to replace it, and none of this is going to happen. But you also have big chemical companies and oil companies stepping up and saying, we are not going to violate these old laws. We're going to make them company practices. So Trump can't even get a council of business people because of what's going on in the EPA. So he's causing a new problem for himself, but he's keeping his base.
It is absolutely extraordinary. Look, some news from here at home. Our own fearless leader here in Australia, Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull, visited Trump in Washington this week, celebrating 100 years of mateship between our two countries. The relationship got off to a little bit of a rocky start, you would have to say, with that infamous phone call between Trump and, Prime Minister Trundle, as he was known by back then. Now it's all smiles for the cameras. Just how important is this relationship for the US, though?
Zero.
Mm.
The United States has just now got an ambassador to Australia, a general, to oversee the American war machine. The United States wants to use Australia as a military base, not as a friend, not as an economic partner. And the more we step in that direction, the more dangerous it is for us. We gain very little from cuddling up to the United States right now. It'd be a smarter path for us to lose leadership among our Asian neighbors and have the United States come to us.
Really is a balancing act right now for Australia between the United States and obviously the rise of China.
Absolutely. And China is winning the soft diplomacy. That is the scary thing. They're giving out the goodies. I was in Cambodia. They're building highways there and roads and stuff like this. The Cambodians think well of the Chinese.
And just finally, Ed, promised a couple of weeks ago we'd keep revisiting the lead-up to the 2018 midterms. But this week, Trump is already in campaign mode for 2020. A lot of people, yourself included, have said Trump won't have the energy for a second term in 2020, even if he doesn't run into legal troubles. What are you thinking after this week?
I think his supporters had him do this. And the reason for it is they were seeing him becoming weaker and weaker. And they wanted to send out this signal that our candidate, our Trumpy, is going to be there. That's a great signal for the Democrats, too. So it's a double whammy. The fact that he's planning to run again means a whole lot of people are going to be energized. And the people on his side are bemused. I think maybe it was a good PR stunt, but it was a bad political move.
And I'll be back next week to talk the latest on American news and politics. Subscribe on iTunes and Wooshka to stay up to date, and show us some love on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.